Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ring Respect Radio, your favorite number one wrestling podcast right here on YouTube at the Video Bros Network. My name is Bobby Munson, and I'm joined by my co-host. He is my video bro. He is the man with the angelic voice. He's Papa Smokes. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing? How all you wrestling people doing out there?
Hope everybody is doing wonderful, and thank you again, everybody who's been tuning in to Ring Respect Radio and taking the time out of your day to listen to what Papa Smokes and I have to say on this here podcast. If you haven't checked us out here, you could also check us out over on Backbreaker Media. Backbreaker Media, available through YouTube, Podbean, and all over the place, spreading the love and giving more respect to the Ring Respect right here on YouTube. It's been fantastic, Papa Smokes. And we're loving our time with the boys out in Alberta. And I believe I heard back from Spencer Love. He has officially said he wants to do Ring Respect Radio. So we got to set up a time here, Papa Smokes. We need to get our good friend Spencer Love on the show to do a sit-down Ring Respect episode with him.
Nice. So what a great guest to get. I mean,
yeah, so Spencer Love over on Love Wrestling will be fantastic. So look out for that coming soon. We're going to set up a time. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk to the man himself, so it's going to be a great time there. But here we are with another edition of Ring Respect Radio, and we're once again going to be tackling the wonderful world of reviews, and we're talking about Major League Wrestling, MLW, MLW Fusion, and we're going to be going over episodes 119 and 120. But before we get started on that, I want you to go ahead and click the subscribe button down below. Give this video a thumbs up and turn on the notification bell. Hey, it takes a couple seconds out of your day, and it makes a big difference to us here at the Video Bros Network. And we appreciate everybody who has already done that already. Thank you very much for all the love and support you show us here on Ring Respect Radio. Now, let's get right into it, Papa Smokes. We're talking about MLW Fusion Episode 119. Why don't you kick us off with this one?
Sure. This episode 119 started with a promo package of Savio Vega and Richard Holiday. We're going to be seeing their big match in the main event, the Caribbean Strap match for the Caribbean title. So a little package there. We also had Joseph Samael speaking for Contra on the Injustice, and he is promising the destruction of Injustice by his evil army Contra.
Yeah, he was none too happy, especially after the actions that Injustice took on the last episode we were talking about when they masked themselves as the Sentai Death Squad members and got a good sneak attack in on the members of Contra. Hell to be paid, I'm sure of it, Papa Smokes.
Yeah, for sure. And like we've talked about before, Contra's got a couple of feuds going on. They have a number of members, but spreading themselves thin here. They've got the ire of a lot of wrestlers in MLW, and they're fighting this fight on a number of different fronts.
Yeah, they sure are. Hopefully they aren't spreading themselves too thin, but you know what? Their actions will speak louder than words. We'll see how it goes. Yes, what up next on the show? We first match of the night, or was there anything I missed there?
Well, we had Zenzi, the Lucha star, versus the Laredo Kid, the current AAA Cruiserweight champ, and what a nice, quick-moving, high-flying match this was. What did you think of this one, Munson?
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly what it should be. I mean, this was a fast-paced, great match between two guys who are in that weight category, that middleweight category that MLW's really been pushing forward with, Leo Rush, of course, the MLW middleweight champion. And these are the guys who they're trying to make stars out of right now so that we have a lot of competition going forward for Leo Rush, a lot of possibilities in matches. And, man, these two really got to shine here, Papa Smokes, I feel like. We've really talked them up, especially Zenshi has been, you know, really growing on us after the last match that we saw of his. Now, at this point, Zenshi is really growing on me. I'd say this matchup with the Laredo Kid, his best matchup. Of course, it helps that they match up size-wise and style-wise as well, too. But definitely Zenshi's best piece of work we've seen from him to date so far.
Yeah, I have to agree with that also, Munson. Zenshi, often used as kind of like a preliminary wanted major wrestler. And he was in this too, even though it was a title defense for the AAA Cruiserweight Championship, but I thought she looked in this. He grappled with the Laredo Kid for the first 3 or 4 minutes of this match. Lockups, lots of holds, lots of reversals and such. You knew at some point that it was going to get into some tactics with these. But there were, it didn't look like these two used to work together. There were a few moments that were sloppy, but Zenshi looking really, really good as in a losing cause in this match. But Kid also looking to Zenshi as a lesser star. This match worked on both levels. I think this match got Zenshi over, and also the Laredo Kid as the champ. And a good, solid preliminary match there. I was entertained.
Yeah, it went a little bit longer than the typical kickoff match on an MLW show, but I had no issue with that. A good, solid 10-minute starter match. Quick pace, fun to watch, like you said, getting both guys really over. Once again, despite all his losses, Zenshi's still looking like he continues to grow a little bit as a wrestler, somebody you want to watch each time. And you know, so many people talk about losses hurting guys. It only hurts a guy if it's done in a way to really bring them down, I find. And MLW has found a good way of building Zenshi while at the same time not yet having him go over. And you know that when he does finally, it's going to be a magical moment.
Yeah, I think you're totally right about that. And this is probably a talent you're looking at for the future of it. He does look like he hasn't been in the game all that long, but skills totally there. Personality there. He just needs more matches in the ring, more quality competition, and I think this guy will be one of the strong midders or contender to the middleweight championship.
For sure. And so afterwards, we got a promo from the Laredo Kid. The Laredo Kid wanting to make a challenge to Leo Rush. He wants to put that AAA championship on the line against the middleweight champion, MLW's Leo Rush. What do you think of the promo and the potential for this matchup?
I thought it was a pretty good promo. The Kid looked like he's all that comfortable speaking English, but he definitely got his point across. And yeah, he wants stuff. He wants a match with Rush. He wants the MLW middleweight championship, and he's not going to stop till he gets it, apparently. So we'll hear from Leo Rush possibly later on in this, maybe a response to the challenge. But Laredo Kid, I admire his gumption. He wants the MLW middleweight title, and he's willing to put the AAA championship on the line in order to get it.
Yeah, looking forward to that one if it does go down. And from there, it was more promo time. There was a lot of promo heavy on this episode of MLW. Not that that was a bad thing. I believe the next one up was Myron Reed, now in response to Contra and stuff like that. So Myron Reed getting a chance to cut a promo here back at Yosef Samael and the members of Contra. And man, he's really just kicking ass on these promos as of late, just making you a believer out of the fact that he's ready to get in there and fight these guys.
Yeah, I've watched MLW for a couple of years now, and I've watched that faction Injustice just improve throughout time, and probably Myron Reed more than the other guys, both in the area of in-ring and promo. And I like his promos. He's very serious. He stares right into the camera. He's got his words perfect and straight all the way through. He sounds committed. He sounds very serious, and I like his style.
Yeah, I gotta say he's really grown on me, Papa Smokes. I'm loving these promos. I really love that match he had with Leo Rush. Looking forward to seeing some more in-ring matches of his as well, too. And like you said, I'm glad you pointed out the fact that he looks right at the camera, because there's a lot of guys who just have that tendency to kind of glare away a little too much. And he looks right at you. He lets you know what he's saying. He's speaking it with his words, but he's also speaking it with his eyes. And that's a big deal when it comes to working video and stuff like that. When you're putting out material for video, you want to make sure you're making that contact, because that's your audience right there. I mean, so many people are trained to look around, look at the audience in a live setting and stuff like that. A lot of these guys, especially the young ones, don't know that you got to sell to that camera. That camera is what's going to be getting you over.
Next week, a promo package with Kevin Ross and Marshall Von Erich in Hawaii. They had some words to say about Filthy Island and about their tag team title loss to Lost Parks last week. Not too happy about that, but good baby faces are willing to work hard to get back to where they were. Followed by this was a promo from Lost Parks, quite thrilled to have their tag team belt been after for a long time. This was a good promo in Spanish from Lost Parks. Those guys don't mince words too much, and they typically have no respect for any of their opponents. They don't care who wins the tag team title number one contender spot match tonight between Violence is Forever and Saying It As It Is. They don't mince words, and what they said was they don't care who the number one contenders are for the tag team title, which we have a match to determine tonight between Violence is Forever and TJP and Buku Dao. Lost Parks not caring and not having any respect for any team that's going to come up to challenge them, so they're ready, and I'm looking at a possibly long and tyrannous reign from Lost Parks. So what do you think of these guys? I liked this promo a bunch.
I did too. Yeah, I mean, these guys are fantastic. Obviously, LA Parks been around the business a long time, and this is a great way to get his son over and into the business. And you know, like, this just it absolutely works. I mean, obviously their win was one that comes with a little controversy and stuff there. But, I mean, it was perfectly done in building these guys as that dastardly heel team that you want to hate, which, you know, makes great for when the baby faces are going to go after these guys and after those title opportunities. It's just absolutely perfect. You want that good, you know, really good heel team to go up against your really top baby face teams so that there is enough tension to make it feel like the fight is worth a damn.
Yeah, for sure, and I'm looking forward to this title match as it comes up, and looking forward to seeing what Lost Parks will offer in defending the MLW tag titles.
And won't this be funny, though, too, because one of those teams, Violence is Forever, if they win that number one contendership, keep it in mind that it was Team Filthy's leader, Tom Lawler himself, that assisted in that win for Lost Parks and getting them the championship. Will Violence is Forever even decide to take up that opportunity to go against Lost Parks, or are they going to just allow that one to slide right by for the time being?
For sure. And when Tom Lawler was made special referee of this match by Selena De La Renta, you know that that Lawler and Lost Parks have a common enemy in the Von Erichs. So I imagine that it was in Lawler's mind that, well, if I can screw over the Von Erichs, then I can now get my team into a position to challenge for the titles. First things first, you know, he wanted to get his revenge against the Von Erichs, and definitely did so by allowing them to get the belts taken off them.
Yeah, certainly. So, but I mean, we're talking about already what I think that was what comes up next here, if I'm not mistaken, is the actual number one contender match between these two teams. If unless I missed something here, Papa Smokes.
No, I think that's what we're on now.
All right, perfect. So, yeah, as you laid it out before, Violence is Forever versus TJP and Buku Dao. This one, another solid 10-minute matchup between these two teams. And did the finish of this one surprise you? Like, the match itself was okay. It was decent. I wouldn't say it was my favorite by any means. It was not too bad. But what about that ending? How did that work for you, Papa Smokes?
Yeah, I was surprised by the eventual outcome of the match. I had kind of thought in my own mind, kind of booking it ahead and in my mind that Violence is Forever would go over, but they've also got a little story brewing up here between TJP and Buku Dao, of course, the master and the teacher, and it doesn't seem like it's going too smoothly between TJP and Buku Dao, so I kind of anticipated maybe some problems of teamwork in that team or psychology or something, but things didn't go great for Violence is Forever, and what do you know, TJP and Buku Dao picking up an exciting win in that match and moving into that number one contender spot for the tag team title.
Yeah, and I think the reason that it works too is because obviously TJP and Buku Dao as of now, you know, these are the baby faces. It makes sense, them versus Los Parks. It's a good match for Los Parks to start their title defenses against as well, too. Well, Violence is Forever, yeah, okay, maybe I thought too far ahead and thought these guys were going to be maybe booked as a strong, dominating team right off the hop, and they take their first loss in their second match in. Kind of shocked me a little bit. But again, I think it's one of those losses that you could also use to build on their aggression moving forward and stuff like that. Allow that to be their driving force, not to allow a guy like Buku Dao to get one over on them or something ever again kind of thing, and make them into the dominating team that they definitely could make out of these two guys.
That's a good thought too. And yeah, like I say, I think another part of it might be that they're building this issue between TJP and Buku Dao as their falling out is starting, the cracks in their relationship are showing now, and perhaps once TJP and Buku Dao have their title match, that's where we might see the implosion and then a feud between those two in the singles ranks. I'm just speculating here, but maybe that's the story they want to go with sooner, and then for now, Violence is Forever can continue. That they'll be in the Team Filthy for a while. They're probably like a semi-permanent team on the ranks here. So yeah, I imagine they're just going with the one storyline over the other at this point, and we'll see if this meltdown occurs by next week with the title match.
Well, plus, you know, Violence is Forever going to have their you know, time in the sun as they head out to Filthy Island coming up in the next few weeks on MLW Fusion. So a lot of chance for those boys to shine yet still, and for anything to unfold with them as well too. So we'll see what happens in the tag team title matchup, Los Parks versus TJP and Buku Dao. I mean, congratulations to TJP and Buku Dao. And man, Buku Dao, man, that's really coming across as a guy that they really want to push forward in MLW for sure, because this is two relatively, I would say, relatively big wins for a young babyface like this so far.
Very much so, and possibly there's plans for Buku Dao to be a more prominent singles competitor in their ranks. We don't know what their long-term booking plan is, so of course, just like all the fans, we'll have to sit back, watch, and see what happens. But there was one other quick thing I wanted to bring up about this match, Munson, is that we talk about MLW is having a kind of an international flavor to it, different styles of grappling and all that. I enjoyed and appreciated Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo in this match, because they don't look like the typical professional wrestlers we're used to watching these days, perhaps say in the bigger companies or even like the styles of TJP and Buku Dao. Guarini just doesn't seem to care to wrestle the professional wrestling style that much. He does his grappling. He sat down on the mat and wanted to start the match like that, and he just has an unorthodox style for pro wrestling, which is really saying something, I guess. But uses that strict jiu-jitsu style, and also Kevin Koo with the martial arts style. It's refreshing. It's fun to watch someone work a different style and watch their opponents have to work a different style. You know as well as I do nowadays, in the business, many people wrestle in a very, very similar style, including, you know, the lots of the flippy stuff and the reversals and all the high impact, high speed aerial kind of style that's so popular today. But just refreshing to watch a martial arts based grappler do a lot of his work on the mat.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Pop Smokes, because it was fantastic to watch, and these guys are great. I think that's one of the reasons too I was shocked by the finish, is because I was enjoying watching them so much that I felt there was something more with these guys. But their time is coming. They don't necessarily look like your typical wrestlers. And I think that, again, given more time in a professional wrestling ring, they'll be able to develop some of those styles into something that I think will stand out and catch on. And even to the, you know, the modern fans that love the reversal and flippy stuff, I think every once in a while they do really enjoy somebody who stands out for being quite different from what the norm is currently. And I think that there is potential for one or both these guys to make that impact in the years to come.
Yeah, I like it. They have a good spot in MLW now. And like you say, I think we'll see them develop throughout time.
For sure. So, not sure if there was anything else up next in between other than some more from Stephen Pinu and a few commercials. Any promos I might have missed before the main event here?
Just something of note, they had a promo with King Mo.
Yes.
He was kind of laying some shade on Low Key, saying that, you know, we got to stop him from wrestling. He's got too much head trauma, and he should be banned from wrestling. But I think this is a work, of course. He's mocking. And I think King Mo is obviously trying to lay the foundations for a little sequence with Low Key. That could be a really, really interesting feud.
Yeah, and it would be building off of what already started between the two of them. You know, they had a match quite a long time ago that they continue to show us promos of and stuff like that, and tease that there is something else coming between Low Key and King Mo. And you know what? For what it's worth, I'm excited to see that one go down again. All right, and then from there, Papa Smokes, we are heading to the main event of MLW Fusion 119. We talked about the build-up to this one in previous episodes of the show. This is going to be Richard Holiday versus Savio Vega. This is the Caribbean Championship to decide who truly is the Caribbean Champion, the IWA Caribbean Champion. And this one, a Caribbean strap match. A lot set up here. This is the same strap we mentioned before that Savio Vega used in his infamous strap match with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And now it's going down, him and Richard Holiday. Do we want to maybe just run down the rules of a Caribbean strap match in case anyone here has never seen one before?
Yeah, let's do that, sure.
So, that kick us off with that there, Papa Smokes.
Oh, I was just going to say they're strap matches and bull rope matches go under various names, I think, and it just really depends where the match takes place or what the stakes are. But in this Caribbean strap match, it's done the same as a traditional strap match or bull rope match in wrestling, where the two combatants are fastened at the wrist to a long strap, and in order to win the match, the winner must touch all four turnbuckles without interruption, all four, without the other guy touching any.
Yeah, and so that's generally how the strap match goes. So this one went down, and I gotta say, it was, before we even get to the finish of this one, I mean, it's Savio Vega. I mean, he's always been he's an all right wrestler to me. Like, there's nothing wrong with him, but he's never been one of these guys where I'm like, hey, I gotta rush out to see a Savio Vega match. So nothing about this other than Richard Holiday's involvement screamed to me, I need to see this matchup. But it was well built up, I gotta say that. And I got my opinion personally, I thought the finish was quite entertaining, and even more so once we get further to other episodes where they follow up to let us know more about it, but that's for a different time. My personal opinion, I thought it was comical, it was interesting, and quite frankly, I think it's great that Richard Holiday is walking away the Caribbean champion.
Yeah, and legitimately this time too, he's actually won it, and they'll have to get it off him, which is really funny.
Yeah, it is quite entertaining, but I mean, all in all, if you're to pick this one apart, this was probably my least favorite match of the entire night. When I pick apart it as an actual wrestling match, because there was little to no wrestling involved in this entire segment.
Yeah, agreed. It wasn't a match. It did the trick for what they needed here, I think. Right off the bat, Savio Vega, like veteran, like he was experienced in this style of match. He was quite getting the better of Holiday, using the strap, whip, choking kind of thing. Holiday looked like a little bit out of his element in this match. You know, he's kind of more used to the typical in-ring wrestling match. But it was okay, and we had some of that fire we've seen in Savio Vega's promos. match where he was talking about the pride of the Caribbean and Puerto Rico, and they didn't like being respected by this jerk, Richard Holiday. He wanted to get him and stand up for the pride of his country. And you saw some of that in that when he was laying the strap across Holiday's back. It was a good welt, too, and he given it to yeah, finish. We've seen our problems in MLW recently with some paid off refereeing and such like that. And by the time Vega was poised to win this match and touch that last turnbuckle, the referee was standing in the way and was, you know, unwilling to move for this climactic point in the match, and then ended up moving so that Holiday could touch the last one and thus win the match. Then we're informed that this referee is actually the disgraced NBA ref. What is his name? Tim Donaghy. And that's a pretty funny guy to get because he was involved in a scandal in the NBA a few years ago. He was match fixing as a referee. And obviously to make some money on his bets and all that, got kicked out of the NBA, obviously. They have a hard time refereeing any traditional sport at this time, but in professional wrestling, hey, you might still have some use here, as we've seen.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic in finding out that information. I mean, it was the icing on the cake, the fact that this guy actually was a match-fixing referee. Now they can use this. Richard Holiday, if he uses this guy as his personal referee, and there's so much that can go down here, and in so many ways works perfectly for Richard Holiday and the development of him as a character. Fantastic in terms of the finish and the fact that there's now this Caribbean championship that maybe now can legitimately be used in MLW as well too, which is great to see in so many ways. Again, the match itself, could have done without it. As a whole, MLW episode 119 for Fusion, I hate to say it, Pop Spokes, probably overall my least favorite episode we've reviewed so far.
Yeah, you might be onto something with that, but I think it still did the trick in terms of building storylines and such. We just had a couple of matches that were a bit tepid, I suppose, and for whatever reason, but off nights happened, and they still got story. So we'll look forward to the next episode being better.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good segue into the next episode, which is the next part of our show here tonight. MLW Fusion episode 120, and we kick things off right away with a Myron Reed promo on this one. Again, really setting the tone for this Injustice and Contra feud that is, you know, developing right before our eyes.
Yeah, and they've had their separate matches. That is, Oliver and Reed have had their singles matches against members of Contra, but they've made it known for the few after this episode they want to do things as a tag team, which would probably mostly put them against Simon Gotch and somebody else in Contra, either Jacob Fatu or one of the other members, but for tonight.
Or even Daivari would probably be the other choice, I would say, in that case.
Yeah, that would be a good choice. Yeah. But based on the previous sneak attack with the Injustice impersonating the Sentai Death Squad, tonight we have, as an opening match, Sentai Death Squad, one member of Contra versus Jordan Oliver of Injustice. And what did you think of this match?
Well, before we even talk about this matchup, when Jordan Oliver walked out, did you not also make the note before the commentators mentioned it about this guy looking bigger than he's looked in recent weeks?
Yeah, I noticed it would be hard to get any skinnier than Jordan Oliver, but he looks like he put on a couple pounds.
Yeah, he definitely did. Like, I knew he was always a tall guy, but he kind of had that tall, skinny, lanky look to him before, and it looks like he is, he must be hitting the gym hard or something like that. He's on a new regimen, maybe a new eating regimen of some sorts as well, too. Maybe he's going to the gym with Hammer lately, because you know what? He looks like he's trying to build that that body that's already there, because, I mean, the kid's got physical height behind him. If he can build some muscle tone on top of that, we could be looking at a whole new Jordan Oliver coming up here.
Yeah, and even for a guy as old as he's pretty agile, like he's quite quick and can do the aerial moves good. But I think it was an important thing for him to put on some weight. In you're a professional wrestler now. But look big. You can't be the skinny guy all the time. And I don't know if he's looking muscular yet, but he's just looking a bit thicker throughout his chest and all that. And he really needed that. I don't think he's the 220 pounds he claimed to be on this episode, but he's a few pounds up anyway, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, you know, as wrestling goes, they don't always tell you the truth about the weights of the guys coming down to the ring.
Of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the match itself, it was what it was. It was a squash match. Jordan Oliver destroying the member of Contra, the Sentai Death Squad member. I mean, was there any other way to go with this one, Papa Smokes, without it being ridiculous?
I guess not, but the only thing I thought is just that it's a little bit questionable as to why Daivari would show the Sentai Death Squad guy out to the ring and not have the match himself, or why Contra would put one of their, you know, their bums in the ring, so to speak, instead of one of their actual members. Yeah, this match just, again, is a little bit blocked towards the building the feud between Injustice and Contra. And yeah, Oliver, you know, made to look strong and tough in this match. Basically a squash, very quick, and it builds a little more tension into this feud.
Yeah, and then afterwards we got that promo package from Jordan Oliver afterwards. And I got to say, I gave this one a big old thumbs up. I got to say, probably the best promo Jordan Oliver's delivered, and the one that's made the most sense since coming back to this whole MLW return.
Yeah, yeah. The kid can talk. He likes to do it a little bit rap style, and it sounds good. I think the younger people like it a whole bunch, and I think this guy will just polish up his style both in the ring and on promos as time goes on. I think he's pretty young. I think he's in his early 20s, so can easily cut the guy some slack, but he's improving, and that's what we all want to see is a person improve throughout time and get better.
Yeah, and he's one that has continued to do so, and, you know, I don't mind that at all, personally. I mean, I always give somebody the benefit of the doubt when they're at least going out there and, you know, making a serious run at it. I mean, Jordan Oliver's not going out there and trying to make wrestling seem silly at all kind of thing. He's out there, he means what he's doing, and he's working on improving it. And as a fan, I think it's great to watch a guy improve and get better over time to see what they can become.
Yeah, we're going to see. He's bitten off a big chunk to try and chew up in challenging not only Contra, but Jacob Fatu. Don't know that Jordan Oliver is quite ready for all of that yet, but I admire his tenacity, and him and Myron are going to go head to head against Contra, and we will see what happens in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, sometimes they say more guts than glory, but hey, it's gotten guys over in the past, so we'll see where it leads for Oliver and and Myron Reed and Injustice in general. After that, again, we already talked about Tim Donahue being revealed as the controversial ref from the previous episode, so we won't touch too much more on that part. But then we had the Von Erichs, another promo, this time talking about the upcoming Filthy Island. And this one, great, because they're talking about how Filthy Island's going to be hosted pretty much right in their backyard. Who knows what could go down at Filthy Island if the Von Erichs are right near home.
Yeah, and I've still been trying to figure out exactly what Filthy Island is going to be. I guess by the end of this episode, it becomes fairly clear that it is going to be an episode of Fusion, I think, right? With a card with matches and promos and such, but it'll just be hosted by Lawler. Is that what you get out of this, Munson? I think it's going to be an episode of the show.
Yeah, I think at this point on Fusion, they had pretty much kind of teased that a little bit. I wasn't 100% sure how it was going to go, but I think they also, when you're watching the show on YouTube, sometimes they show what's coming up in the coming weeks. And I think it was either on this episode or the one before where they listed the upcoming episodes of MLW Fusion. And the one said in February for it to be MLW Fusion / Filthy Island or something like that. So I kind of figured that's what it was. It was kind of the filthy Team Filthy Tom Lawler, themed version of MLW Fusion coming up. And yeah, like you said, more of that going to be fleshed out through the night here as well too. But fantastic that again, this whole tension between the Von Erichs and Team Filthy has been building up, and now Tom Lawler and Team Filthy are going to be taking their show right into the backyard of the Von Erichs.
Yeah, this is good. I like this idea a lot. I'm not sure how it's going to be executed because they've kind of also been hinting that this whole idea is a bit of a sham and that that there's no sponsors that want to compete at Filthy Island show there for pumping out and all that. So we'll have to see. It made it sound like it might be a patched together segment of some kind, but I think it'll be ironic. I think it'll be satirical. I think Lawler is making fun of Dana White and his UFC Island, so I think this might be really fun. And the cutout with the Von Erichs don't seem to want him on the island of Kauai. It should be interesting. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, fantastic build for this whole thing. And what a great way to segue. I love how this was built. We go from the Von Erichs, Filthy Island, talking about the tag team division, and right into the MLW Tag Team Championship match, Los Parks versus TJP and Buku Dao. What were your thoughts with this whole matchup?
Okay, well, this was we talked about this in the previous episode, the big build up to the number one contendership spot. TJP and Buku Dao defeated the Team Filthy's Violence is Forever for this shot, and I like it when it happens like this, where you get to see a team win a match and then get a title match on the very next show. This just builds the excitement for it, and I didn't really expect TJP and Buku Dao to win that last match, really. So it kind of makes more of this one. I couldn't really see Lost Parks getting dethroned from the tag team championships quite yet, but it still made for an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, at least there was that thought in the back of your mind after seeing TJP and Buku Dao take that win the previous week that would they pull that trigger? I didn't think they would, and I still questioned it at times, so it made it exciting, fun match to watch. Again, I loved the switcheroo that Los Parks did in order to be able to send in the fresh man to take that win in the matchup. What a fantastic old-fashioned heel move that was.
And it looks like they continue to use that since there's three members of Los Parks and they only need two for a tag team match. There's always that extra guy kicking around, usually hiding under the ring. We saw this when they won the tag team championships against the Von Erichs, that they had El Hijo de la Parca underneath the ring, hiding in the smaller outfit and sneak in, and the referee wouldn't notice. That's good stuff. Like you say, that's old school wrestling rule breaking. You like to see it, and it made for a compelling match.
Yeah, it sure did. And so, yeah, Los Parks retaining their championships. But again, we go back to that story, that tension that you were talking about earlier between TJP and Buku Dao. Buku Dao trying to make amends for taking the loss. I mean, again, this was what I liked about this is Buku Dao really came across as that wrestling student, the young kid in wrestling school that's still being taught by his mentor TJP, trying to make amends for, not quite living up to the standard his trainer would have expected from him, and in return getting shoved aside, TJP not having any of it, and pushes Buku Dao down, building this big tension between the two of them.
Yeah, and did you feel like TJP's kind of being a little bit unreasonable about this? Like, even in the last couple matches we've seen where he's showed his frustration and disdain for Buku Dao, but I never felt like Buku Dao underperformed, really. Like, he got pinned in this match, but it was only through tremendous shenanigans from a very strong and experienced team. I don't think there's any shame in losing pretty to Lost Parks. I mean, they're going to get you one way or the other, and was just a young star too. You can't expect him to to completely overperform all the time when he's got these cheating heels that are just doing anything under the sun to get you. But TJP not having it expects more from Dow, and it's kind of sad to see that the kid's playing it good. He looks very sad and almost in tears kind of by TJP's reaction.
Yeah.
Quite nicely done by the guys.
Yeah, I mean, especially Buku Dow, I mean, for being such a young wrestler, he had that moment down well, that whole, I can't believe I just kind of been a little bit betrayed by, you know, my mentor here. That it looked nice. I liked how it looked. And I got to say, like, from what I've seen of TJP's career pre-MLW and everything else, I always seem to like him a little bit more when he's got that little bit of a snarky, arrogant attitude and stuff. He plays that so much better than the babyface kind of thing. So I kind of excited to see where this ends up going and stuff like that as this develops. I think it'll also be a great way for Buku Dao to continue to get over. If this is the babyface character they want to make a big push with MLW, they've done a good job getting him to this point. A feud with TJP would be really great on the books for him, especially this young in his career.
Yeah, I think so too. And they're going to take time and develop this young star. And here's another guy that's of a smaller stature, lighter weight. This will be another guy that will be in contention for that MLW middleweight title one of these days. And I think the way wrestling's going these days, there's a lot of what you would call smaller sized stars, the 200 less guys. And a lot of fans take that style too. It's very technical. It's being moving and with aerial tactics. I think MLW's future, this division, they should, and I think they'll gain popularity from it.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, 100%. Sorry.
Munson.
Yep.
Sorry, Munson. One more. They'll be able to match. Of course, Los Sparks were brought to the ring by Selena De La Renta. Did you notice in this match that she always looks like a million, like a glamorous movie star of some kind? A nice black tight dress on. Did you notice that she was in her socks?
No, I didn't actually. No, I didn't pay attention to that. I missed that part.
It's like, why was she in those socks and this fancy cocktail dress? And then I remember it read on Twitter that someone asked her that question right after this episode at first that aired, and she answered that somebody backdated in her shoes.
Jesus Christ.
Munson, I won't over you that night because I know that's the kind of thing you're in. I admire your taste. Very beautiful, but that's still a bit weird if you took those months.
Well, it might be hard to do, seeing as I would have had to cross the border, quarantine, and then make it all the way down there. You know, something timeline-wise doesn't make sense there, Papa Smokes. But, hey, I appreciate a good jab every once in a while. It's been a long time since we got our jabs in.
The joke was there. I had to take it.
No, of course you do, man. I wouldn't have it any other way. So, but yeah, no, I didn't notice that. I kind of have to go back and see now because I didn't take notice of that. So something I'm going to go back on episode 120 and look out for, and hopefully everybody else does too. So after that, moving on from there, we've got a promo from Leo Rush. This was in response to the challenge made by the Laredo Kid for the double championship match, AAA. I believe theirs is the Cruiserweight Championship in AAA, a Middleweight Championship of MLW. The two belts on the line, Leo Rush cutting a nice promo and accepting the challenge. We're going to get this match, Pop Smokes.
Yeah. We already talked about the Laredo Kid's nice, serious promo about wanting this shot. And I kind of expected Leo Rush as kind of a cowardly heel champion to maybe string him along or you know, just deny him that shot or you know, just waste some time for a little bit first. But no, Leo said that I appreciate someone who has game to, and I have game too, so let's make it happen in the ring. And I appreciate this. MLW makes it about sportsmen wanting challenges in their sporting life and wanting greater competition, so hey, here we're going to have these two together. They're going to make some moments. I have no doubt of that. And both rising stars, I think. Laredo did much earlier in his career. Leo Rush, just he'd been up to the big leagues down then. But I think this is going to be a wild man. And just of the couple of Leo Rush I've seen so far, he's looking excellent. So I'm expecting things out of this clash.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Really looking forward to this. I think there's a lot of potential here. And, man, we keep talking about the international flavor, but, man, AAA sending over their champion, Laredo Kid, and he's going to put this title on the line. So, again, AAA would have to sanction permission for being able to put their championship on the line in an MLW matchup as well, too. This could mean big things, too. It opens the door for whoever wins to not only, you know, further their career in North America, but also, in America, but also to be able to take that down to Mexico as well, too, into AAA as their champion as well. So a lot of big things that you're, no matter who walks out as the champion.
Agreed. And another thing I like about different feds trading talent, that is that because MLW has a working relationship with AAA, it's feasible that their title, that AAA's title, could be lost in MLW and held by an MLW wrestler who would then go down to Mexico and still defend that belt against the Mexican fans. I mean, we've seen interpromotional matches before where somebody comes in with a different belt and says they're going to defend it, but it doesn't seem realistic that they would lose it there because for various reasons that it's a one-time shot or their wrestler is just making a brief tour, a brief stop, or a one-shot in this other federation. So it's not realistic to think that they would lose their belt. But in this case, when it's a talent-sharing situation like that, it's entirely possible that AAA title could be won by an MLW wrestler, and that just makes it more uncertain and more fun for the fan because there's just greater possibility of who could win and who could lose.
Yeah, it makes for a lot of great tension going into this one, and I'm looking forward to it. From there, we went on to the Filthy Island preview. So we were talking about this before here, Papa Smokes, but this was the official preview. So I guess this was kind of Alicia too coming out and being able to give us a little bit more about Filthy Island and the boys laying down what's going to be there. I thought it was comical when they first introduced, okay, featured at Filthy Island, and at first you see Kevin Koo and Gabrini shown on the screen, and it's like, well, yeah, okay, no shit, those guys are going to be at Filthy Island. So I kind of had a chuckle at that. But then they laid down a legitimate match here for us. In a King of the Knockouts 2, King Mo and Low Key are going to take place at Filthy Island.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting? We just came with that in the previous episode, and then now this is like a prize fight. Like, it's still professional wrestling, but I like the way MLW does that sports-based presentation. This sounds like a big fight between MMA stars, especially when they have... when they bill it as King of the Knockouts, too, then you know that we're going to see some heavy shots. We've seen King Mo absolutely flatten some people in MMA, and also Low Key has been knocked out some people with that running forearm, too. And we're going to see somebody get knocked the hell out in this match, and I'm quite excited that they signed such a good match already.
Yeah, it makes everything about Filthy Island, the comical side of it, become a little bit more interesting too, because if we're not just going to see one big long comedy hour from Filthy Island, I'm expecting to actually see some legitimate fight here. And man, that's really got my interest peaked right up to the top.
Yeah, this should be good. For all the questions we had, we're starting to get some in.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Moving on from there, another matchup that we had on this one here. We had Gino Medina coming back to MLW finally and taking on Gringo Loco. So another one of these MLW-based names that we keep having a laugh at here, Papa Smokes. Gringo Loco taking on Gino Medina. What did you think of this one?
pretty okay match. I've been anxious to see more of Gino Medina since before the shutdown and lockout of this past year. Gino Medina was debuting in MLW. He was going to be the newest member of the Dynasty with Alexander Hammerstone, Richard Holiday, and at that time he would have been replacing MJF, who had finished up and was headed to AEW at that time. So they had the young Latin star Gino Medina stepping in to be the third member of Dynasty, but even before he even got going in there, it got off the rails somehow, and Medina was, depending who you talk to, either kicked out or quit from the faction known as Dynasty. So I'm never really sure what happened there. It seemed like they just went through, they made a decision and then decided not to, or I'm not sure if there was a problem that prevented them from doing that. But anyway, now we've got heat between Holiday and Medina for this split from the Dynasty faction, and I'm interested to see the kid work, and this is, I think, the first match I've seen of him. I've seen him in promo situations before, but I always kind of had the feeling that he might be something special, and I was anxious to see this match. What did you think of this matchup with Gringo Loco?
I thought it was an all right match. It wasn't too bad. Gino Medina looks decent. I think there's a lot of work to be done there, fleshing him out a little bit more and going forward and stuff like that. But a great introduction back to MLW for Gino Medina, in my personal opinion. Gringo Loco, I mean, again, if this is just a guy who's going to be for developing other guys, it's fine. As far as I know, there's an expectation that he's a little bit more than a Bud Heavy or something like that, but I'm not sure if I'm quite on board with Gringo Loco being anything more than a Bud Heavy personally at this time.
Yeah. He used to be featured more prominently in MLW. When I have watched in the last couple of years, he's kind of like a lower to mid-card guy. He wins sometimes. He does tag team or six-man tag matches sometimes. I think it's a bit of a joke, kind of, you know, with his name and such, and he's the white guy, that the sort of pudgy white guy that does luchador style, but he's actually pretty okay, and I think the fans like him, and yeah, he's a developmental talent, but he can help your new guys get over, because he's, yeah, something, I like the way you put it, Bob, something a bit more than a Bud Heavy.
Again, like, and again, that's no disrespect to Bud Heavy or to Gringo Loco. Everybody has their place in the wrestling ring and stuff like that. It just, with this match being so much further up the card, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to take it as Gringo Loco is another one of these comical names that they come up with for the developmental prelim guys, or if this guy was supposed to be a little bit more above that, but just a little bit more on the comedy side. I wasn't quite sure yet. I guess I'll need to see more of Gringo Loco before I make a true opinion of the guy. But, you know, it was an all right match. It was good for it to be where it was, to break up between the tag team title match and the main event match that we're going to be talking about here right away.
Yeah. And like I say, I think they just needed to get this young guy back on the card, back in the ring, having some matches. And they could have given him more of a squash match, I suppose. But I think it was a good idea to put him against Gringo Loco, who's got a fair bit more to offer than some of the really lower-end preliminary wrestlers. So, yeah, a bit of a challenge there. And, you know, Loco's not terrible, you know, like he had some nice moves. He moves well for a guy of his body type and all that. And I think he fills in his role on the card perfectly just a few steps above Bud Heavy, let's put it that way.
There we go. We've created a new spot on the wrestling card between mid-card and Bud Heavy. There we go. That's perfect. So anyway, from there, we're going straight to the main event. This is a feud that's been going on for a while. The Black Hand of Contra, Mods Kruger, taking on Alexander Hammerstone, the open weight champion, the guy who's been holding the title longer than any other MLW champion in the history of the company. We saw that first match between them at Kings of Coliseum, which didn't end up with a clean finish, a double count out, DQ, whatever you wanted to call it. Basically a no contest between them. I think we mentioned it when we were doing our predictions for that show that we felt that this one would continue on for a while and it would be some sort of screw job down the line that would cause Hammerstone to lose his championship. When this one was announced, I kind of had a feeling maybe this was it. Hammerstone was walking into an absolute trap of some sort and that Kruger was going to walk away as a champion. Not really so much how it panned out in the end. And not sure I can really say that there was ever really any kind of a match. This was more of a cinematic segment, I would say. This one goes back to the cinematics that we talked about on Ring Respect Radio earlier in 2020 there, Papa Smokes. But as far as cinematics go, this was not one of the terrible ones.
Yeah. I just, even that word cinematic match kind of just makes me cringe a little bit thinking about what you made me watch last year with the swamp match and the God, whatever those stupid.
Come on. You loved the Firefly Funhouse match. I swear, Papa Smokes.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. Yeah. I've tried to repress it from my memory, but, you did this to me, Munson. You made me watch that, but this was similar to that, I suppose. It just in the fact that it was, the videotaping of it, or the recording of it, was more important to the match than the actual actions, you know. But we had Hammerstone, the referee, and the cameraman kind of out in some industrial yard at night looking for Kruger. There was a little bit of suspense that came out of this, sort of horror movie type suspense, where you knew this masked madman Kruger was going to be hiding behind one of these piles of pallets or all this kind of garbage that was sitting around. And sure enough, yes, he came out and attacked Hammerstone. We had some brawling going on in this. Kruger threw a full-size pallet. Man, did he ever handle a... We all know how heavy a pallet is, but wow, he threw that like it was made out of toothpicks.
Yeah.
And eventually what we had was Hammerstone getting the upper hand on Kruger, getting him down, giving him a couple good shots, and going to the pinfall, getting the three count, and then, you know, the viewer kind of realized that at the same time as Hammerstone just... That's not the guy. Like, that's not Kruger. This guy's not nearly the size of Kruger. And Hammerstone realized it as well, just in time for Mads Kruger's sneak attack. You know, we presume that had been his plan the whole time, was to have the double in there at some point so that he could attack from the rear. And he gave Hammerstone that southpaw knockout punch he has. And, our boy Hammer not looking good at the end of that segment at all. And in fact, the program ended with her standing over Hammerstone very, very sinister manner. And I've got a little bit not knowing what happened, not having any closure to that. How did you feel about the ending of this segment?
See, I love segments that end like that in a sense, because again, it leaves you to guess what is going on. I got to wait a whole another week to find out. Like, this is the way good TV gets written. And I know that a lot of wrestling companies, especially in the modern era, Pop Smokes, want to go to a more television based cinematic feel and stuff like that. And I'm with you. I don't want to see it in so many ways. Like, again, Firefly Funhouse match, a lot of differing opinions on something like that. This was more grounded in reality than a lot of the cinematic matches are. At least it was a fight between two guys taking place in a different location. So you could kind of get grounded in that reality that this was something a little bit more legit. It meant a little bit more. And the fact that it ended with Kruger looking like an absolute monster without that perfect closure is kind of like the ending to a really strong episode of your favorite show, where the villain has just got the upper hand. What the hell is going to happen to our hero kind of thing. This was a great way to finish off the show, and being that it was cinematic, did not draw me out of this one particularly. I would actually say the Bakulei Brawl, in terms of cinematic wrestling feel, was a lot better than what most of the big companies have done with the cinematics.
Yeah, I think so too, and it's because they didn't. You didn't have to suspend your disbelief for this match. I mean, we saw in some of these other god awful matches we watched last year, the Firefly Funhouse and the Swamp Slaughter or whatever the hell that was called. There's just too much camera tricks, too much magic. Teleportation, costume changes, you know, in the middle of the match and stuff like that. I find that to go too far. This at least was still presented as a match. Now there was some shenanigans and skullduggery going on in this, but in fact it didn't have to involve camera cuts or magic. It was simply that Kruger and Contra had a trick for Hammerstone, simply to trick him in a physical manner of having another person in the Kruger outfit out there. It's still, you know, easily within the realm of believability or possibility. So this helped it for me too.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't sure when it first kicked off how it'd feel. At the end of it, I felt, okay, this works. And as long as companies don't do it all the time, I think that is going to be the biggest thing. It's cinematics done right like this is fine every once in a while. Just like a gimmick match is fine every once in a while when it makes sense, when it's grounded in reality, and not just done for the purpose of getting the cheap pop from a few people that enjoy this kind of stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah. And having said that, I think you're completely right. But having said that, we'll have to see what Filthy Island looks like in the next couple of weeks. I have the feeling they might go a little wild with that too.
We'll see. I've been wondering it myself, Papa Smokes, but we'll see how it pans out. We'll get to that eventually right here on Ring Respect. Anything more to add to this episode of MLW Fusion before we wrap up the show?
No, but good. They continue to build their stars and their feuds, and we saw Hammerstone and Kruger's feud get pushed another step without either wrestler looking weak. Hammerstone, I guess, kind of technically taking a loss there, but not really a loss of a match, or he wasn't getting pinned or losing his title. So there you go. Kruger looks strong again, and we can continue this feud on in future episodes.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's panning out nicely. And we want to thank you again, everybody, for tuning in, especially if you sat through right to the end of the episode here today. Tuning in and listening to everything that Papa Smokes and I talk about right here on Ring Respect Radio. Again, if you haven't done so already, make sure to click the subscribe button down below. Give us a shout out on all social media and make comments down in the comment section below. We love to be interactive with the fans. We want to chat with you guys. So give us a shout out, start talking. We want to get open discussions going with each and every one of you, because at the heart of it, we're wrestling fans just like each and every one of you are. So thank you for taking that time out of your days to tune in and listening to our show here on the Video Bros Network. From Pop Smokes and myself, we say take care. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon.